The September 8th massive installation of Bishop W. Francis Malooly as the ninth Bishop of Wilmington was a prayerful and celebratory event. Priests, deacons, bishops, seminarians, and other dignitaries processed into the fabulously decorated St. Elizabeth Church, passing youth holding banners from all the Catholic schools in Delaware and Maryland's Eastern Shore. As the Mass began, Archbishop O'Brien of the Archdiocese of Baltimore and Metropolitan of the Province of Baltimore gave a few words of welcome and made a sports reference as a way of referring to Bishop Malooly's reassignment from Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Baltimore to Bishop of the Diocese of Wilmington.
Earlier this year, the University of Delaware reluctantly surrendered a quarterback, Joe Flacco, to a most grateful Baltimore Ravens. So today, we in Baltimore reluctantly surrender to you, Delaware. We reluctantly surrender to you, Bishop Malooly. Reluctantly, but willingly, since it fulfills the wish of our Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI, and it is clearly for the benefit of the greater and wider Catholic Church. Happily, Bishop Fran, you will remain our neighbor and friend, separated by but 75 miles, and ever joined by God's grace in ecclesial love and unity. Godspeed.
After Archbishop O'Brien's comments, Archbishop Sombi, Papal Nuncio to the United States, presented the mandate officially appointing Bishop Malooly to the See of Wilmington. Then the archbishops escorted Bishop Malooly to the bishop's chair and presented to him his crozier, a symbol of the bishop's pastoral authority. From there, the Mass progressed until it was time for Bishop Malooly's homily.
Well, I'm glad Joe Flacco had a good game Sunday. I'd hate to think that the press would write that I should be replaced before next Sunday's Masses. Actually, Donovan McNabb did better. I watched my first Eagles game. I actually come from an archdiocese where I had to watch the Redskins, the Steelers, the Pittsburgh Pirates. It was confusing. Your Eminence Cardinal Keeler, Your Excellency Archbishop Sombi, Archbishop O'Brien, my ordinary, my brother bishops, priests and deacons, women and men in consecrated life, seminarians, distinguished guests, our sisters and brothers from other faith families, the people of God, of the Diocese of Wilmington. I am delighted to be here. I am grateful to our Holy Father for this assignment. I am grateful to Archbishop Sombi for his confidence and kindness. I very much want to thank my three most recent spiritual fathers, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Archbishops of Baltimore, Archbishop Borders, Cardinal Keeler, and Archbishop O'Brien. I'm also grateful to Bishop Saltarelli, our outstanding bishop and a good friend, and I think probably there'll be many meaningful moments that I will remember, but none more so than the applause that you gave him. I also want to thank Bishop Malva. He would be here. He sang Mass as we celebrate now. He has a catheterization tomorrow morning in Providence. He seems to be fine. We spoke with him yesterday, but I thank him. Wilmington has been blessed with 8 bishops. We'll see how number 9 works out sometime later. In early discussions, Bishop Saltarelli and I both agreed that this feast day of the Nativity of Mary would be a wonderfully appropriate day for the installation. Mary's mother, St. Anne, carried a very special life in her womb, which serves as a vivid reminder that every life is special. We will continue to stress the constant teaching of the Church that each person must respect every life from conception to natural death. Thank you. And we will continue to seek the intercession of St. Thomas More for statesmen, politicians, Supreme Court justices, judges, and lawyers, that they may be courageous and effective in defending and promoting the sanctity of human life, the foundation of every human right, the foundation of our love for the poor. The feast we celebrate today also calls to mind the innocence that is the birthright of every child. Sadly, the innocence of too many of our diocese's children was stolen by the very individuals whose duty it was to protect and safeguard it, to the children who, through their inner strength, supportive families, and their remarkable and enduring faith, summoned the courage to survive their abuse. I apologize for the innocence that was stolen from you by Catholic clergy and others representing our church. I vow to continue the work begun by Bishop Saltarelli to bring healing to you and to your families and to try to restore the trust that was broken when these sins, no, these crimes, were committed. I want to meet each and every victim who desires such a meeting with me. I want to hear what you want me to hear, and I want to work closely with each of you to learn how best the Church can be part of bringing healing to all victims. I also want to promote reconciliation with the Church to all victims. You had more than your innocence stolen from you. Many of you also had your faith taken away. I want to personally ask you to consider a return to the Church, your Church, and I promise you today before your sisters and brothers in faith that we will never again allow the innocence of one more child to be taken away. In April, our Holy Father, in speaking at National Stadium in Washington, said, "Great efforts have already been made to deal honestly and fairly with this tragic situation and to ensure that children whom our Lord loves deeply and who are our greatest treasure can grow up in a safe environment. These efforts to protect children must continue," he said. I assure you that these efforts will continue in the Diocese of Wilmington. There is no greater priority, no greater responsibility than the safety of those entrusted to our care. Every employee, every volunteer from Pocomoke City to Claymont will make it his or her personal responsibility to ensure the safety of every child in our church. The faith and unity of our local church will be tested in the months and even years ahead as a result of the legal process which must be followed. I ask you to join me in praying that the Holy Spirit will guide all involved in this process and that our church will emerge purified and renewed as we walk together on this journey. In our first reading, Micah shares the prediction of the coming of the Lord. He shall stand firm and shepherd his flock by the strength of the Lord. He shall be peace. I hope I can do both. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, we hear that God our Father has chosen us to be holy before him. Each one of us can be holy through imitation of the example Jesus set and a healthy prayer life. The sacraments, especially the Eucharist, sustain us as we strive for holiness. In Matthew's Gospel, the angel of the Lord speaks to Joseph. "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." In gratitude, we proclaim what Jesus has done for us God is with us. I have no predisposed plan for what I will do as your bishop. I will work with you to develop what we will do together and to continue the good that has occurred. However, what we do will be grounded in Bishop Saltarelli's pastoral letter for the year of St. Paul. This pastoral letter calls each of us to our own unique road to a Damascus conversion experience during the year of St. Paul, and ask each of us to hold a mirror to our lives and to ask ourselves, are we as determined and as energetic about spreading the faith, the Catholic faith, as St. Paul was? Each of us is a missionary. Each of us is called to be a saint. From his letter, we hear how we are to live as people who are joyful, welcoming, service-oriented, who are the face of Jesus for others. From Paul, we learn that each person is important. I ask each of you in our parishes, schools, and institutions to be hospitable, interested, excited about what you do. I ask you to reinforce and support each other. When I visited a parish here a month ago, immediately the secretary came out, not knowing who I was, to welcome me and ask if she could be of help. When I walked into the church, the maintenance man who was working on a project stopped and came over to see if he could be of assistance. Each of us, by our holiness, by our imitation of Jesus, by trying to be the face of Jesus, can lead people to the church. We have many wonderful ministries here in the Diocese of Wilmington. I want to encourage and support each of them. I welcome today all of our ethnic communities, but I offer a special word to our Hispanic Catholic community. Estoy muy orgulloso de ser su obispo y espero caminar junto a ustedes en su viaje de fe. Anticipo con gran esperanza también ejercer mi ministerio entre ustedes y aprender cómo la Iglesia les puede servir de la mejor manera. Es un privilegio para mí servirles y les extendió el amor de Cristo en el nombre de toda la diócesis de Wilmington. Voy a estudiar español y a damas visit. I will do that by visitare a un hermano obispo in Guatemala para poder compartir mejor nuestra fe con ustedes y que ustedes la compartan conmigo. What I tried to say, which probably no one who speaks Spanish knows, I tried about 8 years ago when I became a bishop driving back and forth to Western Maryland. Now, buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas noches. I got very little. Anyway, what I actually said was, I am proud to be your bishop and look forward to walking with you on your faith journey. I also look forward to ministering to you and to learning how best the church can serve your needs. It is a privilege to serve you, and I extend to you the love of Christ on behalf of the entire Diocese of Wilmington. I will be tutored in Spanish, I think on a weekly basis, if I'm right, Bishop. Maybe 3 times a week. And we'll also visit a brother bishop, our brother bishop from Guatemala, so I can learn how to better share our faith with you and have you share your faith with me. Finally, I will lead, but I want to walk with you, and I want you to walk with me. Let me say that again. I will lead, but I want you to walk with me and have you, I want you to walk with you and have you walk with me. And I thank you for your warm welcome.